You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
To the races. Guys, how's it going? Hopefully everybody's having a great evening. As you know, yours truly, Jim Francis Meza, is always looking to bring you nothing but quality artists and peep aficionados, political pundits, ex-cons, musicians, sometimes even homeless people. It doesn't matter. Everyone is a story after all, and I'm a storyteller. My next guest needs almost no introduction. The guy has done quite a bit of stuff. He's been on MTV, Mad TV. He was discovered by Dave Chappelle, no less. Come on, guys. And he hosts his own show Wednesday nights in North Hollywood. We'll talk about it a little more. He'll drop his handles and whatnot. Just don't drop your pants, BD. He's a comedian. He's a host. He's an actor. He is an ex-Marine. Ladies and gentlemen, the famous Mr. B.D. Freeman.
Hey, what's going on? That was a huge buildup.
You like that,
I feel
right?
Like I don't deserve that, man. It should be much less.
It felt like you were going up a roller coaster. Hey, when is it going to drop?
Here's this guy, B.D. Freeman. This dude.
I don't know how you keep yourself so humble, but you've done quite a bit. And that's part of the reason why I like your style, because you're funny. You're quick-witted. I've been to you to the BD Freeman show, by the way.
Thanks for
and
coming.
I love it, man. I love that show. It's a great show. It's much like the Tonight Show and the Johnny Carson show, Jay Leno, and many others came before. But that one takes the bakery with the baker.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I really
thanks,
like it,
man.
You're also a musician. You play guitar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I was a musician. I'm barely a musician. I'm trying to learn.
There you
I'm
go.
Trying to learn.
You know what? We could take it all the way back to Wisconsin.
Oh, you've done your homework. Yep, that's where I'm from. Racine, Wisconsin.
Racine, Wisconsin. Wow. What was that like,
man? Out to the Horlick Rebels.
There you go. You lived in Wisconsin up until you got this, you were in the Marine Corps. So let's back up. You went to the Marine Corps, and then you got money to then go to college and get an education in theater, correct?
Yeah, well, I went to a school that focused on performing arts.
Fantastic.
And then I toured Europe first, and then I came back from that and realized that that was the only way I was going to be able to get out, was to get through getting in the military was going to be the only way that I could get out
right.
of town and get an education. So I went to the Marine Corps.
Hats off to you, sir. Thank you for your service.
Oh, yeah.
I really appreciate that. You know, I really have nothing but utmost respect. I have a couple of military men in my family. So I really appreciate that. The next thing I want to ask you is, it's funny because I did a little probing around, like snooping around, and I found out that when you were growing up, most kids were playing your regular jump rope, basketball, baseball, whatever it was that they were doing. You were doing a makeshift. Can you explain to the audience the makeshift Tonight Show of sorts set in your basement?
Yeah. Yeah. I set up the basement to be like a talk show. My big brother, Jerry, used to inspire us to do all this stuff. He's really creative.
Uh-huh.
And so we would set up anything from a talk show that I would host, you know, to a like cowboy bar fight scene. We would set things up, boxes and stuff up like that to set up these scenes, or a scene from Star Trek, and you know, anything that we could do that was creative.
Right.
But I was always setting up this talk show in my head.
Sure.
And when I wasn't doing it in the basement, like with stuff, I'd be doing it in my head. Like at night when I go to sleep, like I would, before I fell off to sleep, I'd be dreaming of, you know, having this talk show.
Just playing it out in your head.
People out. Yeah. Just I didn't know back then that that was a
it was like
a real thing.
Yeah.
To do. Well,
yeah, and you eventually went on to host different shows, be part of Mad TV for a hot second, yeah. VH1, MTV.
Nine years.
Viacom. Yeah. Wow, you had a contract. So take us through, like, okay, so, I mean, needless to say, that's manifestation at its finest. You know, yeah. You're manifesting something that you're doing, you already see it happening, you know, put it in motion. The wheels begin to turn.
I didn't even know I was doing that. I had no idea I was manifesting.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I had no idea that if you can think of something, then the clearer you can see yourself doing it, the more apt it is to actually happen.
Right.
See, I had no idea. I was just having fun.
You're just having fun.
With my imagination.
This was fun for you. And it brings me back to some of like a quick sidebar. Growing up, I did interviews, mock interviews with my family, nice. Where I was interviewing them also.
Yeah.
And here I am years later, you know, interviewing B.D. Freeman, man.
There you go.
So you had like...
That's a bar higher.
Right, right. You say keep doing that.
You should set the bar much higher than B.D. Freeman.
Right. No. I well, you're one of many people that I've been inspired by over the years, you know?
Oh, well, thanks, man.
And over the years, you know,
feel really old.
Well, come on, dude. Dave Chappelle discovered
it. It was really more Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin.
Yeah,
wow.
But he and Dave, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. I mean, this is the Mount Rushmore of talent of comedy for me. You know, us growing up in the 80s, late 80s, early
90s. 90s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
I got discovered at the end of the 90s.
Really?
Yeah, like
so let me ask you.
No, actually that's wrong. Uh-huh. 2004, I think.
2004. Wow. That is impressive. And what was it like? I mean, like, you suddenly met these people and they're like, wow, you said, dude, I'm in the big leagues.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it was really different than what I thought it was going to be. I thought it'd be marching bands.
Yeah.
And there, you know, I would be this huge, humongous star overnight, and it would be this whole thing. I didn't know that I was going to have to, like, that's when the work really began.
Stuff. Yeah.
You know, so it was different than what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be all about me. But I've learned that it's all about the work.
Yeah. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of sleepless nights to try to get something refined. And it, you know, obviously, now did you dabble in stand-up? You did stand-up comedy, though,
right? Yeah. I started in stand-up when I was in high school. And just kept going, you know, trying to become better. To this day, you know, I'm always trying to become a better stand-up.
Right. And then... you know, so that means a lot of writing, right? Goes into play, a lot of writing.
Yeah, because with my show, with the B.D. Freeman show, I don't have a group of writers. It's just me.
It's just you.
So I write the show every week.
What?
You know, every week I write the show. And then Kiko writes, he does the desk piece. Mm-hmm. He'll usually figure out something to do for the desk piece, so he'll write that. But the monologue, all the opening monologues, all the stuff that comes with it, everything that you hear, everything that you heard me do on VH1.
That's right.
Or BET or MTV and all that stuff. I wrote everything. Nothing was ever written for me. I always insisted on writing my own stuff. So,
yeah, because then you then ventured out. Didn't you decide you want to do your own show and venture out and part ways with MTV?
Yeah, I had... So I was 9 years in, and it felt like everybody was leaving. You know, Godfrey had left, Lonnie Love had left, Lunell had left. I mean, everybody was leaving, and I was still there, and I was thinking, you know, man, like, you know, when's my break going to come, like, for me to jump from here to the next thing? And then I decided, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't wait. You know, because it was going to be either sign on for another 4 years or go and create my own thing, you know, take my own shot.
Right.
So I did the crazy thing, you know.
Jump ship.
Yeah, jump ship. And they were always good to me, man. Viacom, VH1, they're always fantastic to me. Fantastic.
Right.
But I just felt like I needed to make a move. You know, if I was going to have my own thing, I was going to have to make it happen myself, because, you know, a lot of us brown folks, man, they ain't really looking for us, you know? So if you want something, you got to go out there and create it.
Create it yourself. You know? This is great. You guys, hope you guys are taking note of this. This is fantastic, because this is the kind of
cam over there.
Yeah, that's the cam.
Yay.
BD Freeman, I mean, you've really gotten expansive with your artwork and how you decided to just finally create that basement little deal you had going on as a kid, and then take it on the road and actually create it here in Los Angeles, in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Because you went from Wisconsin to Beverly Hills.
Yeah. And after all of the work with, you know, starting at Mad TV and then working with Eddie and then going on and being in VH1 and everything, it was like after that, I felt like, you know, it had been probably 10 years. So I felt like, okay, I'm ready to do my own thing.
Wow.
So.
Right. Because you had learned all the tools. I mean, your toolbox just got bigger. You learned quite a bit, and then you added to your repertoire, and now you kind of knew all the inner workings of how to do it.
Yeah.
Smart.
And what I didn't know, I'd research. I'd do a lot of research and cross-referencing.
And that's
trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way to do this. I mean, I sit there and study late night.
Wow.
I go on to YouTube and look at old episodes of The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson.
Love it.
Conan or Letterman or Leno, you know, all these different people, you know.
They all have their own style.
Fallon and Kimmel and all of them. I study them to see how they do everything, you know, because there's no real roadmap. There's nobody that can tell you, okay, here's how to do your show.
Take you by the hand.
You know, your show is an extension of you.
Right.
So the hardest thing in the world is figuring out who you are. Like, if I were to ask you who you were,
right,
who you are,
yeah,
you know, you probably have a hard time.
No, I don't. I'm just a regular cat from LA who likes to help others every chance I get, likes to give back.
Well, no, see, that's what you do.
Right.
That's not who you are.
I'm a good person.
That's what you do. That's not who you are.
Who do you think I am?
I don't know. That's the thing is, I don't know. I'm not sure who I am. You know, I think that's a lifetime
quest to find out who we are.
Yeah. I think especially
know thyself. Right?
Yeah. Especially as talk show hosts, because you can't pretend, because eventually the real you is going to come out. So you can't pretend to be something else. You have to only be you.
Right.
Because eventually you're going to run out of material of being this character that you're not. Yeah, that you're not. And then, you know, you're going to be something else.
That's interesting.
And you won't be able to figure out what that is because you never took the time to figure out who you are. So, yeah, like people ask me, like, if someone's to ask me, like, who is BD Freeman?
Yeah.
That's a tough question.
Wow. BD, you left me thinking there in deep thought. I find that what you're saying, everything, I mean, you do quite a bit of your due diligence. And I've noticed because there's also somewhere I read that you actually, you're a method actor, so much so you actually took a character, like you literally went to rehab without having to be in rehab in a mental ward.
How did you know that?
Huh?
When did I ever, I don't ever remember talking to anybody about, hey. Yeah, I did.
and then let's not forget, you ended up hooking up with Britney Spears.
No, I know. No, I didn't.
But it went viral for a minute, for a hot second.
For a hot second. It had nothing to do with me. That was about my friend. That was about another guy. It was just more sexy to say that it was me, to print that it was me. No, it wasn't me. Man, I wish it was me. That would have been friggin' awesome, man. I wish it was me, but no, it wasn't me.
It's like the time, I got a story for you too. Like the time that I ended up driving Kamala Harris in my own vehicle. And her and I, we got to talking and our lips started smacking.
What?
And
I'm like,
I went down. I told you you're supposed to have me on your show soon. We can talk about that. We can elaborate on the Kamala Harris story in my own personal vehicle. They were looking for a driver. And I've been I've been driving for over 20 years for a limo company, the Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver. I also have a podcast by the same name. And so what happens is essentially, well, we could talk about this in your show. Let's talk about you. All right. But,
yeah,
but
I'm going to leave this as a cliffhanger.
There's plenty. Do you have an Andy Dick story? Like that segue, huh? Do you have an Andy Dick story? I got a good one for you.
You have to have
an Andy Dick story.
I hate having bad stories about people. Well, not with Andy. No, I don't have a delightful story.
It's not going to be too delightful with Andy.
Andy's
crazy.
When I ran into him, it wasn't pleasant. No, it wasn't pleasant.
Well, we could talk about that on your show. How about that? Andy Dick story, guys. Stay tuned. BD Freeman's show. That one's going to be insane. This one's going to be good. It deals with cocaine, by the way. Cocaine, Andy, and a show he was on. It's going on. This whole thing was rock and roll. But let's get back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, BD, tell us about the mental ward situation. Is this a real thing?
It was real. Okay. I had a role I was going to be playing in this play, and I wanted to know what it was that this person had gone through who was in, was confined in a rehab, basically. Something a little more than rehab for him because he had aphasia. Okay. But I wanted to know what that was like, so I could play that character. So yeah, I went and put myself in
nuts, in rehab. That's a great story.
And I was there for a month.
Really?
Yeah, doing research. I'll tell you, it scared the hell out of me.
I bet. Were there people like weird people talking to themselves like you see? And
it was seeing people who were like you, only they had this problem.
Right.
They slipped up somewhere. Yeah. The only difference between myself and them is that, I went left and they went right.
Right. Absolutely. And were you able to somehow, within the confines of the place, were you ever like to find a spot where you like talk to people, almost be like a Yoda of sorts, like a guru and say, hey guys, look, if I were you, I'd get my act together. Like be one of the counselors.
I listened. Yeah. Wow,
it's beautiful.
Because that's what people need most. I mean, someone's always trying to talk to you about, making yourself better and you need to do this and you need to do that. I wasn't there to
be give judgmental,
advice.
Right?
Yeah. I was there trying to learn something. And it was it was scary to see what can happen to you, with drugs and alcohol, how far down you can go. It's not like anything you can watch in a movie or see on television. There's no performance I can point you to.
Yeah.
That's my phone ringing. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. No big deal.
My pockets are tight.
No problem.
I'm still wearing tight pants.
Okay. I hear they're coming back, by the way. Everything goes with the bell bottom.
Yeah.
Well, the 90s are in, so it's all baggy clothes, but it'll come around.
It was like more like the 70s. I felt like it's more like the 70s coming back.
Right now? You think it's probably like a mesh or I would say like a hodgepodge of different styles all combined, all coming like coalesce.
That's probably better said. Yeah, it's a lot of different styles all coming in. Even like what I'm wearing is more like
I like it. You're stylish, dude.
More in 80s.
I dig it, man.
But that's my favorite.
What was your favorite? Like, what were your favorite musicians back then in the 80s? Real quick, let's talk about that for a second.
Oh man, Prince number one.
Yeah,
absolutely number one.
Yeah.
Morris Day and the Time,
NXS,
Pet Shop Boys.
Pet Shop Boys. So like new wave of sorts.
Oh yeah, tons of new wave.
Yeah, the British Invasion.
Yeah, yeah, 80s. tons
of Morrissey new wave. And Depeche Mode.
Oh yeah, oh Al, oh, man, huge Depeche Mode fan. Huge Depeche Mode fan.
That was fantastic.
People are people, so why should it be? You and I should get along so awfully. Yeah, man.
Dun, dun. Synthesizers. What yeah, about Bowie? Man. Do you like David Bowie?
I love Bowie.
He evolved through the ages, right? Like he fits into
how
the
60s. How do you do that?
Zeitgeist, like, the
how
80s.
Do you do that? That's how do you phenomenal. How do you recreate yourself?
There'll never be another David Bowie.
Never be another Bowie. Never be another Prince.
Never be another Prince. I got to meet Prince once at the Beverly Hills Hotel because he came in a two-seater whatever it was, like a Cadillac coupe or. He gets off. Dude is just so rad. His clothing, he stood out. It's almost like,
I know, man.
He was gracefully moving. Yeah. It was fantastic. It was great. Yeah. It was the one moment where I've seen a lot. I met a lot of rockers, like, you know, Bono, stuff like But Prince was just almost like probably meeting Michael Jackson. The closest thing was his brothers, but I didn't meet Michael.
No, I never met him either or any of them.
Right.
But, I do have a Prince story.
Okay.
I was just starting out and I was playing at the Comedy Store. Uh-huh. And Prince was doing his after show, after Grammys party, his after party.
Okay.
At what used to be across the street from the Comedy Store was the House of Blues.
Right.
And
owned by,
what's by Dan Aykroyd.
Ghostbuster.
So Prince was going to play over there. And anyway, I was up doing my show and everything. And then afterwards, you know, you stand at the front of the Comedy Store and everybody just sort of hangs out and talks and whatever. And this big dude comes up to me, this big black dude comes up to me and he's got an envelope and he gives it to me. And he says, this is for you. He said, so you can go to the party across the street.
What?
From Prince.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, of course, I'm thinking that my friends, comedians, are of course setting me up. You know, they're going to laugh their asses off at me because they know because they know how much I like my love of Prince is like way off the charts, off you know.
Charts.
So I'm thinking that it's bullshit. I open up the envelope and it's a purple wristband, right? So I go
purple rain.
I go for real, and he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "You're not just like you. My friend sent you over." Like, no, it's from Prince. Oh my from God, Prince. Dude. So I was like, "Why?" You know, and he's like, "Prince came over, and he had snuck into the Comedy Store because the dude loved comedy.
Yeah.
Prince loved
really,
and was funny. Like, really, like he could have been a comic."
Right.
And he just happened to come over and I just happened to be on stage.
Holy
and he shit. Saw me and I made him laugh. So he gave me a wristband. So I'm still thinking it's bullshit, but I go over there and I show my wristband and they say, no, you can't get at this door. You have to go over to this store. So I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking
VIP, baby.
Here's where the bullshit's gonna come in, right? I go there now and it's just complete VIP. You know, all access, everything.
Beautiful.
You know, never had an experience like that in my life.
That's so amazing.
Everybody was there, man.
Oh yeah. You're like rubbing elbows with all the big
everybody.
Cats.
Everybody
even folks that nobody knows are gonna be there. Like for the folks watching, there's many a times where their friends come in and it's like, oh, there's Robert Plant. Yeah. Oh, there's Bono. Dude, that's Bono sitting there. And it's just like, whatever. This is where they kind of let their hair loose, so to speak. And, and they're just being.
Everybody was there. It was crazy, man. It was.
Yeah.
And that man played, that was probably like 10:30 when I went in there. He played till probably like 4 o'clock, 4 or 5 a.m.
Unreal.
Just played all night long. When we came out, the light was coming up. The sun was coming up. It was insane. And he was just so great, man. Yeah, that was I have two Prince stories, and that's one.
What's the second one?
Where at the Beverly Hills Hotel, he was going in, I was coming out, and I was going to go up to him, and I wanted to thank him for the tickets. This is probably like a year or so later. And I just couldn't do it, man. I was too intimidated.
Oh, no.
I ended up just walking by. No, you know. Shit. But I wanted to say, I've never been like that. There's only one other time that I've ever been intimidated like that and not went and talked to somebody. And I was
Let's talk about that.
That was Clint Eastwood.
Really?
Yeah. That's it. That's it. I've always felt, you know, on an even keel with
With most people. Yeah. And that's always been the case, even like when you transplanted from Wisconsin to here. Who was the first celebrity you ran into, or would you say?
Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, he seems like the coolest cat ever.
I didn't really talk to him. He was just the first one that I saw ran into, you know? Yeah. But so I didn't know. I don't know anything about him. Know anything about him. But he was the first.
Who was the first celebrity you slept with?
Oh, that
I can't talk about that.
That's secret. That's secret.
You guys are watching the Almost Famous Jim Francis and my wonderful guest tonight, the one and only BD Freeman. We're discussing a lot of cool stuff. I love it that you're here because I can really just yank your chain, fuck around. I know we're on this. I know how far to go with you, man. And you know, it's funny because you're a comedian. I mean, it's great. When did you feel like you made it? Is there where you feel like you've made it?
I still don't feel that way.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I've had a lot of really great stuff happen.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of really cool success and everything. Yeah. But making it, no, I don't feel like I've made it. I don't know what.
Right.
And because it's funny that other people put that on you. Other people will say to me, man, you made it.
Yeah.
Because you did this. You made it because, you know, you did that or you achieved this or you won this award or you won that award or whatever it is. But to me, whatever making it is elusive.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means.
It's like Hollywood. People think like everyone gathers together and shit. They're all
everyone knows everybody. Everybody's friends with everyone. Yeah.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
But
everything's groups. Right, Hollywood is like high school.
Right. They're all cliques. Yeah. You get little factions. Do you ever when was the first time you got, or do you remember even somebody saying, hey, I know you. Oh my God, you're BD Freeman. Can I take a picture with you?
Yeah, I don't recall that anymore, man, because it happens so much now.
Right.
That sounds so selfish.
No.
But I don't remember.
Yeah. And you always go out of your way to take photos with people?
Oh, always. Man. Yeah. Without the people, you don't know me.
That's right.
You know?
Isn't that something? So, that's something that most people in Hollywood ought to take note. I mean, seriously, because there's people out there that forget how they got there, how they got where they got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They forget, you know, the road up, and sometimes on the way down, you know what I mean? They start remembering it's a bit late.
Yeah.
I want to say, cause I know the Eric Estrada, George Lopez story and where he wanted to get an autograph. Eric Estrada was too busy for him, you know, for George. And he'll tell that story once in a blue moon. But at any rate, let's talk about, Britney Spears. How can you just so we clear the air? You were at a how did you meet Britney Spears, dude?
I never met her.
You never did?
No, that's the thing, man. That's what? So crazy about this whole story. I never met her. Hey, here's what happened.
Okay,
I was at a club.
Okay,
and it was many years ago. I was at a club, and I was there with some friends. And we were just hanging out, you know, doing the LA Hollywood hangout thing. And then Brittany comes in and she's got a bunch of people with her.
Okay.
And they took a table that was near us and all of that. And everything was cool. And my people and her people kind of started mixing and everything. Okay. But I may have said hello to her, but that would have been about that. Right. That would have been about it.
Yeah.
You know, because I had a huge crush on her, which it makes me intimidated.
Yeah.
Which makes me not talk. You know,
yeah.
when I feel intimidation,
yeah.
Which is rare, but happens.
It's rare. And it's funny because you're a host, but continue on.
So
that happens to me as well.
Yeah. It's always this weird feeling,
yeah.
You know, because you're used to talking to people, but then there's some people you just clam up.
Right.
Anyway. So, after a while they left and, then one of her bodyguards, I guess, or one of her people or whomever came back in with a note. I don't even know if it was from Brittany. It could have been from one of her friends,
okay,
or something like that. But they gave the note to me, and the note was like, hey, come hang out, blah, blah, blah.
I'd have lost my shit, dude.
And but it wasn't for me.
Right.
It was for my friend.
Yeah.
You know? So they go hang out, you know? And then the next morning, my publicist calls me up and is like, you know, they're getting ready to release this story. That didn't happen. You know, that didn't happen. So it was a mess. It was stupid. And I think we sort of got it cleared up, but these things, like, they have a life of their own.
That's right. They take flight, and it's hard to kill it.
Yeah.
Kill the story, right?
Yeah.
You get the PR people to...
I mean, if it had been for me, believe me, man, I wouldn't have...
relish in the idea, though, in itself?
If it had been for me, if it was like, hey, hang out, I would tell the story. I would be like, you know, I mean, I would tell it as gentlemanly as I could, but I would tell the truth. I'd tell the story. I'd say, it was a fun time. It was a groovy, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it never happened. Never happened.
That's insane, dude. Britney Spears. I really like that, though. The, you know, how it almost happened.
Yeah.
Somehow, I mean, in of itself, but the story is great. I love that story, BD Freeman. I really do. I mean, let's talk about you being the host of your show, the BD Freeman Show, guys. We're gonna talk a little bit more about, you know, obviously we know who inspired you to do kind of a late night or a night, you know, late night show of sorts, a tonight show, as it were. But let's talk about, how do you prepare? I mean, outside of the writing, we just found out that you do all the writing. I found that out. I didn't know. I thought you actually had a bunch of writers getting together and writing this stuff. No, it's brilliant, by the way. So congratulations on your show.
Thanks, man.
All right? I mean that. And independently of when you're going to have me on and the whole thing, I just want to say it's a phenomenal show. I've been two times to your show thus far because my show generally shoots on Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
And so... but given, I mean, I really, really like the way you set it up. You have the comedy aspect. Your comedy's funny. You're funny. And sometimes I think some of the stuff is off the cuff. Like, you kind of play with it. It's the wordplay.
Yeah.
When somebody says something, it just begs, like, for you to just kind of jump on it. And I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's organic.
I often leave the script.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I don't end up doing anything that I wrote and end up doing a whole other thing out there when I go out. It just depends on what happens and how I'm moved. You know, I just try to stay in the moment.
That's it. Staying in the moment's super important for us, right? Obviously. Yeah. I wanna ask you any mishaps in the shows. There was one
I can tell you right now that like every single show, I've never left happy. Never left going, oh man, I was great. I was awesome. I leave every week going, oh, I did this wrong. I did that wrong. I shouldn't have said this. I should have said that. Oh yeah, man.
We are our worst critics after all.
I do the show and then I spend the next several hours beating the crap out of myself. So
yeah, you think, well, there's always room for improvement. I mean, overall, there's always going to be, I don't think, to be honest with you, traditionally, I've spoken to other like hosts in the past of different shows. They say the exact same thing, by the way. you said, because if you've arrived, you've arrived, and then there's no more room for growth. That's the other thing. You know what I mean? Like, once it's almost like killing your teacher. Like, you had a teacher, and then, like, oh, you know what? I outgrew Mr. Miyagi. I can fuck up anybody. Yeah. But somebody, that's the kind of where it blases, where it dies. It's, you know, it just.
I never think we can ever get there. That's one of the things that I love about acting and comedy.
Beautifully said.
And everything is that I'll never become perfect. I'll always have room to improve. I'll never get this right.
Well said.
You know, so I'll always be striving, you know, for the rest of my life. I'll never get to a place where the jug is full.
Yeah.
You know, it's always going to be partially empty.
Interesting.
You know, at the very least, partially empty.
Right.
And at the very most, like at least half empty, you know, so I'm always going to have to be working and working and working, trying to get better.
You got to work at it. It's every day we're work in progress. Let me ask you something. All right. So one, it was must have been the first show I went to. I went to three shows. You had Eric Griffin in one of your shows. Fantastic. I had such a great time. It was fun, dude. Was that the one where there was one where you took medicine or something?
That was the Eric Griffin show.
Okay. Oh, tell the story, dude. Tell the story.
I had a some kind of cold, you know, and I just was not able to shake it. And then stupidly, like an hour before the show, I took some kind of medicine without looking at it to see if what the symptoms were that could happen. Right. I just took it, you know, wanting to get rid of this cold, at least for a little while.
Do away with it. Know? Hold it down.
And it had an adverse effect. I had never taken it before, so I didn't know. And it just...
I thought it was comedic genius, by the way.
It was like being on mushrooms, man. It was like doing a show on mushrooms.
This stuff writes itself, honest to God. It was just funny.
I was out of control up there. I had, like, no idea of what I was doing. I love Eric Griffin so much. And all I kept thinking was, oh, man, I'm screwing this up right in front of Eric Griffin. I'm screwing this up. Finally, I just like tore up the papers.
Yeah.
Tore up the stuff in front of me.
Right.
It was like,
went off script.
Just went completely off script because I was way out there, man.
Oh my God, dude. I thought this is a gimmick.
I was hearing things like in my head, like, I was like, I seriously was like, I was like doing the show and I hear someone, Bobby. Like over, you know, just like
I saw you flinch a couple times. Like,
this guy is
really good.
I was hearing sounds and people calling my name. And sometimes, you know, I'd ask a question and Eric would sound like the teachers from the Peanuts, you know.
I've been there before.
I mean, it was. My brain was just spinning. It was the hardest night I have ever done. I apologized to Eric. I apologized all over myself after it. He was like, dude, no, it was funny. It was great. It was no problem. Funny.
And he riffed off of what you were doing. It was just so good. I thought it was comedic genius because I didn't know you back then.
People were saying. Yeah. People were like, oh, man, that was just genius. Yeah. And I'm just like, no, I was high. I was accidentally high. I was accidentally really, really high.
Oh my God. I got to tell you that was by far, I've gone many shows, you know, and been an audience member. I got to tell you, I had a blast. I had a blast. The very first show.
That's what that's what I'm trying to do with the show. You know, I want it to feel like a party. You know, that everybody is invited to.
It really feels that way because sometimes you break the fourth wall and you talk to people. I love it. And your wife is there. You can shout out to your wife. She's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
She's great. Lori, who does your makeup, she's fantastic. Lori made it happen. Thank you.
Lori and Lori. Lori, my wife. Both your wife's Lori, name, Lori, my sister.
Yeah. That's fantastic, Lori. I appreciate you so much. It was, I mean, I honestly cannot tell you that the three times I've been there, I've had nothing but a blast.
That's what it's for.
Yeah,
that's what it's for, man. And so I want it to feel like
right.
And we're now that we're at the new place.
Okay, tell us.
I want it to even feel more like a party. You know, in fact, the green room, we've got like drinks and different things back there. It's all VIP.
Okay,
out for VIP guests who come to see the show or come just to hang out.
Sure.
You know, friends of mine just come just to hang out.
That'd be great.
And then the room is a theater.
Yeah.
Now, so there's no bad seat.
No.
You know, every seat is great.
And, oh wow.
And I just want it to feel like a play. I want for people to have a place that they can go.
Sure.
That. Like is
helps you kind of escape life a little, reality.
Yeah, their place. Like,
right?
You know, I remember I found this this 80s club, man, because I love the 80s, man,
right.
And I love all things 80s, especially the music. And I found this 80s club, and I started going there every Saturday night.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's even around anymore, but. And it felt like a place that I could go to no matter what was going on through the week, no matter what was bothering me, no matter what was happening. There was always this one place that I could go to.
Was it the Palace? Was it the Palace with Richard, what's his name, Richard Blade?
Yeah, Richard Blade. What?
Oh. They used to shoot off condoms, like K-Rock condoms and K-Rock markers and everything K-Rock. It was fantastic.
Dude, I can't believe you used to go there. Yeah, that's where I would go.
We hit that place up every Saturday, dude. I wouldn't even go there
it's on my phone. I wouldn't even
go. I thought they were drilling down there, dude.
Yeah, really.
Where the hell are we?
Man, I'm telling you, this thing never phones.
This guy's popular. That's what happens. Mine buzzes once in a while. It's my wife. All right, love. And that's it. My son, maybe. Go ahead.
This thing never ends. Never stops buzzing. But it felt like a place that I could go to and escape to. And I want to give people that, I want to give that to them, like on television or live, however they're watching it. And I remember there was a TV show that made me feel that way, too, that I'm trying to give the same kind of spirit. And there was a show that I used to watch in college called Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Okay.
And it was just, it's hard to explain, but it was this dude, he's a comic, Joel Hodgson, and he created these puppets that were like these robots, and he was supposed to be like in space, shot off in space by these evil scientists. I mean, it sounds
silly, but
yeah, like, and it was silly.
Right.
It was kind of corny, but it was so good.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun. And they play these old movies and they make fun of the movies while they're playing. They show you this theater. And then they're in the theater and they're making fun of this, of whatever movie they're watching. And it's like sitting around with your friends.
Right, right.
Making fun of a movie,
Shooting the shit right
pretty
there.
Soon. Yeah, you're commenting along with them, and their comments are hilarious.
It's like TikTokers right nowadays. Like they'll like, mute the movie and then they'll start saying funny stuff. Like there'll be always some cat. He's telling her this, in reality she means that. And it's hysterical, dude. Like, you really think about that. It's imagination at play. I really cannot tell you how much fun it's been. We got a couple minutes. I just want you to, let's bring it to a closing. But any final thoughts in terms of your show? Why don't we invite them to your show?
Yeah, please come out.
Every Wednesday, right?
Yeah, we shoot every Wednesday night. And, I know I should know the address, but I can't remember.
I think it's a 68 theater 68.
Yeah, it's theater 68.
Theater 68. Okay, let me see. Theater 68. Oh wait, that's a porno. It's a movie. I don't know, for something, some weird thing came out. This is the Arts Complex.
That's my other show that I do.
There you go. 5112 Lancashire Boulevard, that's North Hollywood, California, 91601. Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night.
All right. The BD Freeman Show. It's fantastic. And you have such a great crew. I forget the other comedic genius who should be getting credit also. That helps run the show.
My director, Thomas Ward.
Dude, yeah. That's phenomenal. Yeah. He's funny as fuck. Oh,
so hilarious.
He's great. And then Kiko.
Kiko, and then Michael Sneed runs all of the electronics and everything. Yeah. And then Brunette Lori takes care of me and does a million different things. And then Lori, my wife, she does a million different things to make sure that
the show, it doesn't get slapped together like a sandwich. It takes time and effort, and there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of people make it happen. So,
and then there's Poncho who does the security.
Oh, Poncho, Frank, the guy outside, coolest dude ever.
Yeah, super cool.
He took me down. He goes, yeah, just go in there and hang a left. And I'm like, fantastic. I thought I was gonna go in through a freaking, you know, a porto or something like. But they also do comedy. They used to do comedy in that other place, right? Where you used to shoot the show before? Because you don't shoot it there anymore. But
No, place we just came from. It was a comedy club.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I am beyond happy to have you here tonight.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I found this show on YouTube. It's called Our 80s Life. Everybody should look that up.
I'm gonna look it up.
It's just this couple. And they're it's this man and woman, and they're just so cute. And they've like arranged their life into this whole 80s like thing, from fiasco. Clothes that they wear to their home, the way their house is set up.
What?
Like everything. Yeah. It's all, I mean, so if you like really love the 80s.
What's it called?
It's called Our 80s Life.
Our 80s Life.
Our 80s Life.
All right. What are your handles?
Everybody should go there.
What are your handles for Instagram?
It's just look up BD Freeman.
Yeah.
Anything. You can look up BD Freeman Instagram, BD Freeman, or BD Freeman Show Instagram, BD Freeman Show Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. Just put in Google BD Freeman and whatever it is.
Yeah, it'll pop up everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm delighted to have you here tonight. It's been nothing but fun. You'll have to come back for part two because you see time flies here in this place.
Sure does.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. We're just warming up.
I know. I feel like I'm still asleep because I literally woke up like an hour ago.
Yeah.
To come over here. Lori came in and woke me up.
Yeah.
So that
thank
I would
you, Lori.
Be here.
You rock.
I would be here on time. Too.
Thank you.
You know, but so I feel like I'm still half asleep.
Yeah.
And to give you a show where I'm awake.
No. And because I mean, either or. I'll take you either or. I know we're getting, next time you come, I'm going to have my Red Bull. So, you know, we can operate on all 8 cylinders.
There we go.
Fired up, baby.
There we go.
Yeah. But I'm really, really happy again. And why don't you take us out with I want my MTV or something.
If they pay me, I'll do it.
That's right. MTV, how about that?
You know, we want to have you on our show. So
thank you.
This has been a lot of fun, man.
You know, it's going to be insane. Because once I tell you the story about Kamala Harris, we're going to fry the internet. It's going to go haywire.
Okay, man. I'm looking forward to it. Going to break it on my show.
Story with the Less Than Perfect show, I think he used to be in. I'll tell you the story, the green room story.
Okay.
It was insane, dude. Insane. Like off the charts, nuts, like nothing you ever heard. Nothing sexual, but just like plenty of drugs going on, flowing through the bloodstream. At any rate, that's my show, guys. Thank you for watching every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Don't forget to tune into Mr. BD Freeman Show.
Yep, but we should be on, we've been running, we were running for a long time on YouTube, but if we do everything right.
You'll be on?
We'll be on Amazon Prime coming up in the next several months.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Take it away. Till next time.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.